You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland. This is Alvin A. Craig. We're thankful that you're a part of our congregation. We invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today.
Oh.
We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing the gospel with you from week to week, and we do trust that the program is being a blessing to you. We have an encouraging note from a listener in West Virginia. Dear Brother Craig, I listen to your message each Sunday morning, and I really appreciate them. I don't live near a Church of God congregation, so your messages feed my soul. I would love to receive your Way of Truth paper each month. My friend tells me they are so good. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people. And we are thankful for the love that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of the family of God. And we realize and we know that it's not because of works of our own, but it is because of your love and because of his love in giving himself to redeem us. And we give you thanks and praise. We ask you to bless our precious congregation today. Make this broadcast service a blessing to each heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus and his disciples had left Galilee and were on their way to Jerusalem. On this particular journey, they were going through Jericho, and there Jesus healed two blind men, one by the name of Bartimaeus, and the other one is not named. And as he journeyed on from Jericho up to Jerusalem, there was a large crowd of people that followed him. And as Jesus came near the city of Jerusalem, and before he arrived there, we are told in Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 17, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So as Jesus neared the city of Jerusalem, possibly on the top of Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples into the city, and they were to get a donkey there on whom no one had ever sat before or had ever ridden on. And they brought this donkey to Jesus, and we are told in Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he left Jerusalem and went over to Bethpage, where he spent a night, or a number of nights, as a matter of fact. And as he came back to Jerusalem one morning. He was hungry, and there was a fig tree there, and he looked for figs on it, and he found none, and he spoke to it. Now, it was not that it was not time for figs to be on the trees, because it just wasn't time for them to harvest them, and there was no figs on this tree, and so Jesus spoke to it, and they journeyed on then into Jerusalem. Again, Jesus returned to Bethpage for the night, and while he was there, a man, a Pharisee, and a man who had been a leper, invited him to have a meal. And while he was there in this man's home, a woman by the name of Mary came with a bottle of precious ointment, and she anointed Jesus' head and his feet. And the disciples, especially Judas, found fault with them, said, could not this have been sold and given to the poor? But Judas was not really all that concerned about the poor. He was more concerned about the money being put in the bag, because he is the one that carried the bag. In Matthew chapter 26, we read here from verse 6, Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meal. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much, and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she hath done a good work, and she has done it for my burial. Jesus also went into Jerusalem before the Passover, and there he observed the Passover meal with his disciples. And when all things were ready for the meal, the disciples thought they would gather around and start eating. To their surprise, Jesus laid aside his outer garment, took a towel and a basin of water, and began to wash their feet. And they were certainly surprised. And when he came to Peter, Peter said, You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, Well, if I do not wash your feet, then you have no lot nor part with me. And of course, Peter changed his mind immediately and allowed the Lord to wash his feet. After this, then, they gathered around and began to eat the meal, the Passover meal. And Jesus said unto them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you shall betray me? And again, they were quite surprised. They did not understand what he was talking about. And before this occasion, Judas had gone to the high priest and had bargained with them to betray Jesus into their hands for 30 pieces of silver. And so Judas, along with the rest of them, said, Is it I? And of course Jesus knew, and Judas knew, who it was that was going to betray him. And Jesus told him, He that dippeth in the cup with me, or in the sop with me, he it is that shall betray me. And Judas got up and left, and went out. And the disciples thought that Jesus had given him instructions to buy something for the meal, or to give something to the poor. But nevertheless, Jesus knew what Judas had gone out for. After Judas had left and the Passover supper was ended, Jesus instituted another supper. He took bread and blessed it and gave it to the disciples and told them that the bread represented his body, which should be broken for them. He also took the cup and gave them and drank it and said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant." And then they sang a hymn and went out. And they went down across the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus prayed. And he prayed three times. And while after he had prayed the third time and said, "Lord, thy will be done," here came Judas leading the guards and the soldiers from the Temple Mount. And they took Jesus and bound him and took him back across the valley. And they took him first of all to the former high priest, who had been the high priest for about 16 years, Annas, but now his son-in-law was the high priest. But they brought him to Annas first and questioned him, and then they took him to Caiaphas, and also the Sanhedrin court was gathered together, and Jesus was brought before them early the next morning. And they began to question him, and he would not answer them, and he was commanded by the high priest to speak and to answer. And so they were requiring of him an answer in regard to what, whether he was the Son of God or not. They had already got some witnesses who didn't agree among themselves, so they demanded that he tell them. And because Jesus told them the truth, yes, he told them the truth, he told them that he was the Son of God, and they accused him of blasphemy, and they demanded his death. Yes, they demanded that he be crucified because he had told them the truth. So, after that sentence had been passed by them, of course, that they did not have the authority to crucify him. The Romans had taken that authority away from them. So they took him to Pilate, and they brought their accusation against Jesus there before Pilate, accusing him of blasphemy and other things. And Pilate took him inside and questioned him privately. But Jesus did not speak to them or him or answer him to begin with. And then he said to Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the authority, I have the power to have you crucified?" And Jesus said, "You have no authority, no power over me at all, except it be given to you from above." So Pilate took Jesus back out over before the crowd, and he said, I have examined this man. I find no fault in him. Let me scourge him and turn him loose." They demanded, "No, we will not be satisfied at that." Nevertheless, they did take him and they did scourge him. And can you imagine what his back looked like? The condition of it when those Roman soldiers took their lashes, possibly with some pieces of bones in them or else metal, and they really scourged him again and again. Now, the Jews had a law that they could not give more than 40 lashes. And that's why Paul said that he had been beaten 40 stripes, save one. They stopped at 39 lest they had made a mistake. But the Romans were not guided by the law of the Jews. And it's hard telling how many lashes they gave him. But after they had lashed him, Pilate again endeavored to free Jesus. He had got a message from his wife. She had been troubled all night, and she urged him not to have anything to do with this just man. And he heard that Jesus was of Galilee, and Herod Antipas was there in Jerusalem at that time, and so Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. He thought he was going to get Jesus off of his hands. But whenever Herod began to question him, Jesus refused to answer him. And they mocked him, put a purple robe on him, bowed down, making fun of him. And when he refused to answer, and Herod had wanted to see him perform a miracle, which he refused to do, he sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate had him back on his hands again. So he came up with the idea that he thought he could free Jesus. At that time of the year, the custom was that he would free a criminal. And so he chose, I suppose, one of the most wicked criminals that they had in prison at that time, Barabbas, and he put up the proposition before them as to who they would choose, Barabbas or Jesus, thinking that they would want Barabbas to be crucified rather than Jesus. But to his amazement, they cried out in regard to Barabbas to release him and crucify Jesus. And when Pilate wanted to release him, they threatened to take him, or to take Pilate to the ruler in Rome and testify against him. And whenever Pilate realized that his own life was in danger, he then gave permission for them to take him and to crucify him. And so they did. And they put the cross on him. But in the weakened condition that he was in, he fell under the cross. And a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene was required to take the cross the rest of the way. And they took him to Golgotha, the place of a skull. And there they fastened Christ to the cross. And they put him on the cross from the 12th hour, 12 o'clock noon, our time, to the 9th hour, which would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a great darkness over the land, and there was an earthquake also. And at 3 o'clock, usual time for the offering of the evening sacrifice, Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. He had been told the other thief, there was two thieves there beside of him. One of them railed on him, and the other one changed his railing into asking Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus told him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And Jesus also asked the Father to forgive those who were crucifying him because they did not know what they were doing. And there Jesus was on the cross, suffering intensely, a crown of thorns on his head. And finally, he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It seemed that even the Father had forsaken him. The disciples had denied him. Judas had betrayed him. Now they had followed him, at least some of them had followed him to the crucifixion there on Golgotha. John was there and others. And Jesus gave John the responsibility of taking care of his mother. And after he had cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He gave up the ghost. He died. And Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for Jesus that he might bury him. Pilate was surprised that he was dead already, but he was, because Jesus himself gave up the ghost. So Pilate, along with Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus, took Jesus down off of the cross, put the burial cloth around him, and took him to his tomb. Joseph had a new cut tomb, which no man had ever laid. And they took Jesus and laid him there in the tomb. And they rolled the stone over the soldiers rolled the stone over the door of the tomb, and Jesus lay there in the tomb, a dead man. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust that the Holy Spirit will touch hearts and they realize and know that Jesus tasted death for every man. So may you bless this precious people today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing this broadcast service with you from week to week, and we do trust that it is proving to be a blessing to you. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know that our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. You can listen to a number of our broadcasts if you've missed any, for we do have an archive of our broadcast services. And you may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. And you can also join us in our services. They are broadcast live over the internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service begins at 7. So we invite you to go to our webpage, read our monthly magazine, listen to any previous broadcasts that you may desire, and be with us in our services. And our webpage address again is www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast, asking God's blessings on you.
Try, if you can, to imagine that I was the only man. I can't help but believe that he died for me, though such love I can't understand. But I believe he'd go to Calvary for me, there to hang to his death on a tree. If I were the only one to redeem, I believe he'd go to Calvary for me. If I held the key to prosperity and the wealth of this world in my hand, I'd give all that I own if these eyes could be shown just a glimpse of his love for this man. But I believe he'd go to Calvary for me, there to hang to his death on a tree. If I were the only one to redeem, I believe he'd go to Calvary for me. Yes, I believe.